The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, DK Network's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the Hizzy, live from Bar Canada here at the D downtown. How you doing, sir? You good?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. My ears hurt a little bit, but you know.
What's wrong with your ears? The headphones?
Headphone
injuries.
Kevin's finale day. He was like, let me just rocket this audio through his eardrums one more time.
Kevin Trask, final day behind the scenes audio. We miss him already.
All-star.
Missing him. Friday, it's packed as always. Football. Matt Brown, co-host of The Handle, and of course, a little podcast. It's called Long Shots. That we will have this hour. Three segments with Matt Brown, nothing but NFL. Then, of course, college football, both with Dr. Bob and Chris Felica. Dr. Bob on the analytics side, Bear with a different viewpoint than necessarily an analytics standpoint on college football. Not the sexiest week of matchups in college football. That doesn't mean we can't exploit it and make money. And then, of course, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke talking MLB. Giants back in playoff position. Just want to point that out. First, last night, the Vikings and the Eagles. Eagles bank another win. Two games where they could have just as easily had a different result, but they get it done again. They're 2-0, 34-28. The Eagles land right on the closing number. A push for anybody who got the close. Again, if you don't think getting the best of the number matters, here's example, you know, 5 bajillion on this. Books got sided on this, but the Eagles get it done 34-28. Kelly, I don't usually go a little guessing line style here on Friday morning, but I just, for the purposes of this, I just wanted to go through how ridiculous the first quarter is. First of all, let me just start with this. Is there one person who gets charged up by Michael Buffer anymore? Like, is that still a thing? Do you think there's like one human being who's like, oh my God, it's Michael Buffer. I'm so excited.
I thought the Rocky music was more exciting afterward than Buffer. It's a good call.
Buffer, by the way, who looks great at the age of 78, but the pipes don't last quite as long.
I believe I heard once upon a time. I'll do research while you're breaking down, but a ridiculous sum of what he gets paid to do that at random events.
He gets charged up for it. The question is, right. Do the rest of us get charged? So anyway, this first quarter, the Eagles went up 3-0, but then this is just a comedy of errors. First of all, the Eagles recovered their own fumble on a punt return after the Vikings couldn't do anything with it after the 3-0 deficit. Then Brandon Powell of the Eagles got a 3-and-out. Brandon Powell of the Vikings, he returned it into plus territory. They were going to start great, the Vikings were, but then Justin Evans knocked it loose. Nicholas Morrow recovers. Then Hurts throws it into double coverage, picked by Jackson. Then the Vikings started at their own 35. Alexander Mattison fumble poked out by Avante Maddox, recovered by Justin Evans. Then Philly on a subsequent drive. Then on the subsequent drive, they start at the, they have a 3-and-out. They only gain 2 yards after that fumble recovery. Elliott misses a 55-yarder after that fumble recovery. And then Minnesota started at their own 45 after the missed field goal. Remember, Josh Oliver tripped Kirk Cousins. It was a 5-yard loss. Then the Eagles jumped offsides. That's the first quarter. Just one error after another. And at that point, I was already in my head with this is the worst product. Once again, we reminded you, Thursday Night Football is the worst product of anything any sport ever puts out.
First quarter, my thought after first quarter was preseason, week 6. Here we go. Got it.
Week 5, but yes.
Five, sure.
No.
But
literally, you're like, it's like putting out a starting pitcher the next night and expecting it to go well, right? So it got a little different in the second quarter. It certainly got different in the second half. Obviously, the Vikings got it to 7-3 on a Cousins to Hockenson play. Then the Eagles decided, okay, we're just going to run the ball straight up the gut, try to stop us. 13 of 16 plays were rushing plays. Here's where the yardage gained on the rushes. What's that?
Thank God. You didn't think that the whole first half. Minnesota's sending everybody just like they were a week ago. And Philly's stuck doing their long multiple option plays that take way too much time in the backfield. They're getting eaten up by the blitz. It's like run it straight down their throats or throw some short slants. And they weren't doing it. They finally started to do it. Just DeAndre Swift over and over and over again was amazing.
Here's where the rushing gains on that drive that put them up 14-10, 7-3-6-4-2-7-4-8-5-7-5-4. and one on the Tuchus Bush to put them in 10-7, by the way. Eagles with 2:44 left. Then the Vikings matriculated. And you know where I'm going with this. We've just got to spend 90 seconds on this. Cousins to Jefferson on a 2nd and 10 at the Philly 31 with 41 seconds left in the half. They're down 3. Cousins to Jefferson, left pylon, tackled by Terrell Edmonds. Jefferson extends, loses the ball, on review, goes over the pylon. Turnover, the dumbest rule in sports.
Yep.
By the way, Elliott will sink a 61-yard field goal to put the Vikings up 13-7 at the half. And again, if you don't think this is Plinko, this is the greatest example of it. Instead of the Vikings being up 14-10 going into the locker room, instead, it's Eagles 13, Vikings 7. By the way, Al Michaels had no idea the Eagles were setting up for a field goal. It kind of was lost on him until the very last second. But we have to talk about that play again. And I know there's some people out there. And let me just say, this is a great tweet from Sam Monson, who we've had on the show many times at Pro Football Focus. Justin Jefferson at just 24 years old, and he finished this game with 11 catches for 159 yards and one fumble loss. At 24 years old, now has more career receiving yards than any Chicago Bears receiver in the team's history. All 100-plus years of it.
That's wild.
It's incredible. We love you, Bears fans. But anyway, I know there are some people who are not triggered by this. The other team gets possession if the ball is fumbled through the end zone rule. But Kelly, it makes no sense whatsoever. An offensive player, any offensive player cannot fumble in the end zone. Let's just talk about it logically. It's impossible. If he possesses the ball in the end zone, even a millisecond, it's a touchdown, okay, in the end zone itself. If a player fumbles while in the field of play, the ball goes out of bounds in between the goal lines. The ball's returned to the spot of the fumble. Unless it goes backwards, then you get the ball where the ball goes out of bounds. But somehow, if a player fumbles in the field of play and it goes through this magic plane that's the goal line,
yep,
somehow the defense is rewarded even though they don't recover the football. Now, I missed the memo where the defense had an escape hatch, a get-out-of-jail-free card in the sport of football, where let's say a team goes, I don't know, 87 yards, just let's make up something. You can't stop them at all. And then all of a sudden, you're like, ah, escape hatch. We got lucky. We don't even have to recover it. It's ridiculous. There's no logical incentive for it whatsoever. And you do, by rule, you incentivize the football, the offensive player to go over the goal line, a la Drew Brees. So they are incentivized to do it. You can't make the consequence of it. And again, you didn't recover it. There's no vortex at the pylon.
Right, yeah.
It's just ridiculous. It's the stupidest thing ever. Anyway.
I mean, it should just be returned to wherever, I don't know, wherever the guy lost control of the ball. Or there's no reason why
if it offends you so much, give him 1st and 10 at the 20.
Exactly.
The offense goes back to the 20-yard line. Not their own, but
sure,
your
20. Right.
But, like, you don't get the ball.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. No, that one's absurd. I'm here for the rules conversation if we want to today, because I am very against that one. I'm very for the other one that everybody's having
the Tuchus Bush?
Yeah.
You like the Tuchus Bush?
I like the Eagles taking advantage of the rule. Like, I think it's a dumb rule, but, like, if you're not going to get rid of it, stop. People are freaking out.
I just find it
about the Eagles abusing it somehow.
No, you're allowed to do it.
It's in the rule book. Yeah, do it.
I just offended that Carissa Thompson and everybody else calls it a Tush Bush. It's a Tuchus Bush. Let's just get that clear. Wishnev's problem with it is that, just like the extra point, here's his logic, and I'm going to try to make his point for him. He never said it comparing to the extra point, but I'll use the extra point example, which is, remember how the PAT in football in the NFL used to be automatic. 98% of the time,
it went through
the uprights. If it's that easy, if it's 98% on the Tuchus Bush from the 1 yard line, he's like, that. No play should be that easy, is his point. So, agree or disagree with that, that would be his stance on the matter.
Yeah, I understand that. My stance is just, I feel like the only time you see people raging about it is when the Eagles are effectively using it. And it's like, okay, so you're getting mad that they're being successful within the rule book.
The funniest part that I find about it is that Eagles fan think that it's some unique talent that they possess. No, you were great. You thought about at first, but other teams will start doing it, you know.
The other one that, like, there was a couple of them, at least, like, that second touchdown one, you know, they set up in that formation. There's a lot of times where there is no push whatsoever. Like, that last touchdown Jalen Hurts scored, he just went over left guard. Like, that was it. He dove right in the end zone. There's no push from behind at all.
Anyway, instead of the Vikings being up 14-10 at the half, they're down 13-7. And then, you know, then the Eagles went up 27-7. early in the second half and you're like, oh, here's the Eagles team. Because to this point, you're like, oh, the Eagles don't look anything like they did last year. Oh, here are these guys. The Hurts to Smith play for 63 yards, making it 27-7. And the Vikings then cut it to 27-14 really quickly. Cousins of Jordan Addison for 62, then 27-21 on a 9-play, 86-yard drive. That was after the Eagles did that 15-play, 44-yard, 9-minute drive that went nowhere. So 27-21, but a lot of DeAndre Swift after that, including a 43-yarder. He eventually scores, makes it 34-21. And the Eagles don't go for two there. Why do you not go for two there?
No idea.
Math is difficult.
Addition. I was screaming at my TV, by the way.
Addition, subtraction's evil friend. Like, it's really...
Like, that was the one... What were we... I forget what play we were talking about last week, but the instant, like, the... Like, the field goal team came out immediately, and I was like, we're not even going to think about this here? Like, where there's not someone upstairs going nuts about this?
It ends up as a 34-28 final, and I guess here's the question. The Vikings, after going 11-0 in one-score games last year, are now 0-2 in one-score games. Funny how that happens. They're, after being another -3 in turnovers last night, they're -6 on the young season through 2 weeks. Remember, the it cost them 3 points last week. That was the margin of victory. That's all that Tampa Bay needed to win that game. Here, it cost them not only the Justin Jefferson 7, but the sack on Cousins where he fumbled it, then it was a short field for the Eagles. Then. So, like, that's their whole season. They're 0-2. And the Eagles, as pedestrian or as mediocre as they've looked, they still bank the wins.
2-0. Yeah, 2-0. Bank the wins. I think there's going to be some value on the Vikings going forward.
You think there's value on the Vikings?
Going forward, betting game to game.
Did you learn anything new about the Eagles? Because I didn't.
No, not at all.
I didn't.
No.
I'm still very...
I think they've played mediocre games and gotten away with 2 wins.
Yeah. Matt Brown joins us. His thoughts on last night, but really his thoughts on week 2. All Sunday games. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Bar Canada at the D downtown Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Trust the Glove. You convinced me to pick Denver for my survivor pick. In week 2, I'm in Denver and probably would not have done so, but I trust your head. Go Bronx. He says take state. Then I think he's talking about the college game between Colorado and Colorado State. Well, I took Colorado at 21. Let me just point that out.
Were you ever that aggressively supportive about the Broncos this week?
No, this is why I want to just point this out.
Okay.
I am never going to suggest to you, no what matter who you are,
is.
What your survivor play should be. I'm just saying with my 4 entries, 1 will probably be on Denver. Vegas regular, you have to mention how bad Al Michaels was last night on multiple occasions. It was as if he didn't know the rules of the league. I don't want to pile on Al Michaels because he's a legend and he's not, he's not 25 years old. None of us are anymore. We all make mistakes. But yeah, there were a couple times, right? He didn't really seem to get that there was going to be an onside kick late either. But yeah, not his best effort, but he has done more in this business than many of us combined. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's tough. It was not a great performance, but I'm not going to sit here and rip on legends, man. That guy's a legend.
Jason Stark, sorry. I still love Buffer. All right, somebody likes Buffer. We got one.
Okay, there we go.
I got one.
Oh, I forgot to look that up.
Let's see. Soccer Picks Club. Any truth to the rumor that Kelly's ears hurt from all that Journey goodness behind you?
Oh, we had Matchbox 20.
Oh, Matchbox 20.
Matt had to chime in for that. Matchbox 20.
Mike Stacks.
I was laughing when it started playing.
Mike Stacks. Isn't it a sick feeling when you see Jefferson fumble in the end zone? I'm sitting on Minnesota +4.5. Tell the girlfriend I'm going to lose by a field goal. And 30 seconds later on TV, they put a stat up that shows that a 61-yarder has a 16% chance. I'm like, yep, he'll make it. It's good. We've all been there, my friend. Johnny Ringo, risk reward, want to reach over the goal line, consequences. Johnny, couldn't disagree with you more, and I gave all my reasons. And then Mike Rouse, did you know that Matt Brown has a new podcast, not named Long Shots? Ladies and gentlemen, he's a co-host of the show, The Handle, here at 7 p.m. Eastern, each and every weekend, Saturday and Sunday, with Mike Somich. And he is the co-host of a little golf podcast. Would you like to say it's called Long Shots real quick, just for old time's sake? It's called Long Shots.
It is called Long Shots.
No, let's do it the way you do it on the promo.
It's pretty much Kelly's podcast for the next 5 months. It's Kelly's podcast the next 5 months.
Matt, the people want to hear you say, it's called Long Shots.
Yeah, it's Long Shots. Come on in.
It's like, come on
you
in.
Hear the promo so much more than I I do.
Oh, my God. It's everywhere. Matt Brown, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
How you doing, man?
Doing well. Doing well. Last night was good outcomes all around last night. So,
what did you have last night?
Vikings, Hockenson over, KJ Osborne over, Cousins minus 9.5 over Hurts passing yards. So we were 4-0 last night.
Nice.
Good night last night.
You got plus 7 on that? Plus 6.5?
7.5, actually.
7.5.
Yeah, 7.5, actually, on the other side.
A great example of an NFL game where getting the best of it matters completely.
So it's an interesting exercise for me now because I'm on air now as these lines are coming out. And so I'm hyper aware of the lines now.
Right.
Like, because it's part of the content that we do. And so a couple of these things, and we'll talk about them over the course of this week, where the lines that came out on Sunday no longer available. I'll still, you know, be able to talk you through whether I think they're good bets still or not. But it was interesting because week two, I've always had a lot of action as it is anyway, because it's like incredible amount of overreaction that we get. Yep. and all of that. And so it's always kind of been my highest volume week as it is anyway. And I thought there were several different opportunities this week from that standpoint. I did hear you guys talking in segment one, though, just about the stupidest rule. And so I know we're not supposed to have, you know, inner company, like, shots fired and stuff. But then Femi came on the Twitter machine and said, best rule in sports, and said that get inside the red zone and protect the ball or something or whatever. And I'm like, that's the worst take I've ever heard in my life. Like, what are you talking about? Could you imagine? Okay, so we're playing basketball, right? And if you turn it over in the paint, the other team gets to go down and shoot a free throw. Like, you know, I mean, like, it's essentially the same. Like, it's essentially the same thing. Like, like, why? And you just be like,
what's the logic?
Yeah, because.
Because is not a good.
Because answer. And it's like, yeah. Wait. So if I turn it over in my red zone, they get to go shoot a free throw. It's like, because
I've done everything right, and you through perhaps sheer luck, right?
Oh, most of the time.
Most of the time, sheer luck. Yes. Oh, and you should get the benefit of this. Yeah, I don't think so. No, that doesn't
make
sense.
It is another one of these rules, though, where it's like, how does it possibly happen as much as it does? So going back to whoever tweeted that in, right, where it's getting punished for it, where there is a wide receiver that seemingly does this every year. Like, every year, the whole, like, I'm going to stretch out, and then it falls out of my hand, and boom, we're talking
about it. Well, you can't fumble the ball forward unless it's in the end zone, right. In which case, then it can fumble the ball forward. And you're just like, why? Because.
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 Because there's a magical plane, right?
You know, the rules committee actually reviewed this within the last couple years, and they didn't do anything with it because they couldn't for the life of them come up with a better alternative. I was like, that's even the cherry on top of it all. Like, oh, you just couldn't come up with anything better than that? No, not even the 20-yard line? That's not better?
Yeah, like, we somehow all decided where to put the new extra point at and, like, where that should be.
And that was fine.
And everybody decided that, but we can't figure out what to do with this rule.
Great rule change that they moved the extra point back.
Yeah,
because we all love that.
We all love it.
So, okay, it's a 10-yard penalty. It's you take it back to the 10-yard line or whatever. It's a 10-yard penalty. Fine. Cool. All right. Let's move on.
Did you – last thing about last night. Yeah. Did you learn anything about either team that you didn't – like, the Vikings, it's like, that's exactly who they are. It's always who they've been. The Eagles, they're 2-0. Like I said, hey, they banked the win. So, in the end, good for them. But they certainly don't look like they did last year.
Yeah, not so far. I mean, I guess there is something to be said for – kind of like your I think Herb Street said it or whatever, like your C-plus effort and still you're still 2-0.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
sure.
You C-plus effort, you're still 2-0. I mean, from a Viking standpoint, I mean, you're just looking at yards, you're looking at overs, you're looking at every. I mean, like, this is basically like, that's how I'm framing every Vikings game going in and trying to prove to myself otherwise, because Cousins, listen, people can say what they want to about Kirk Cousins is a baller, man.
Mm-hmm. Like, anybody who blames that on him last night? No.
I don't care what anybody says about it. Like, that guy sat there and got battered all night long and just stayed in there and delivered the ball and was able to go and get the hero cover for all of us out there. And all that.
did you watch Quarterbacks this offseason, that Netflix documentary where he was featured?
Yeah.
You gain such a respect for Cousins. Like, the punishment he takes and just eats it.
And he knows it, too. Like, he's one of those dudes, like, I'm about to get destroyed. Oh, right. Destroyed. Like, you know, he just knows it. And he gets destroyed and moves on. But listen, with that receiving core, with Hockenson at tight end, like, and then, of course, the offensive line that seemingly is not going to protect him very well all year, that team is – he's going to throw for 275-plus every single game. They're going to throw 75% of the time, which is what we're seeing basically at this point. it's like overs, 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 overs until proven otherwise.
Yeah, I respect a team, though, that in week two already knows what they are, right? Where it's the, hey, we got rid of Dalvin Cook. We're not even really going to try to run the ball here. Like, we've got the best wide receiver in the game. We're just going to throw. And on the defensive side of the ball, we're not quite as good as what we once were up front, so we're going to be blitzing all the time under a new defensive scheme.
Little Darisaw shenanigans last night wasn't cool.
Yeah,
like that, yeah. I didn't enjoy that a ton, but it didn't end up.
What's the total next week for Chargers and Vikings?
Yeah, I know, right? 87.
Well, no, I was on the way in. I had Mitch and Paul in, so it slipped into what it was. You know what it is? It's sub 50. It's 49 or 49 and a half.
I might have to bet.
It's like
right
some it's some ridiculous number, they said. So I don't know.
One of the teams might just get that wrong.
Right, yeah.
like in that thing.
So that seems like a peculiar opener if that's the case. So what's your favorite bet week two? What do you have in pocket that you love most on Sunday?
Well, favorite one certainly is Cincinnati. Because that opened at 2.5. Like, what in the world? The sub 3 on that one is insane. It's still sitting at 3.
Talk about an overreaction.
Yeah,
right?
Juiced 3. Yeah, I mean, the weather, the whole things that were going on. Look, Burrow didn't have any sort of training camp. Like, there's a whole bunch of things to be able to like point towards Cincinnati kind of bouncing back here. And then also just that Ravens injury report. Marlon Humphrey's not going to play. Tyler Linderbaum's center is not going to play. Ronnie Stanley's on the offensive tackle is not going to play. Marcus Williams' safety is not going to play. Like,
one week in.
Yeah, like there's no one out there. Of course, they already lost J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah, that's called Melvin Gordon up from the practice
squad. So they already lost J.K. Dobbins, and Mark Andrews was still limited. Like, he hadn't gotten in a full practice yet either. I mean, this is just like classic. Okay, the Bengals looked like absolute garbage, and then the Ravens kind of looked okay, but not really in a win. And so now this thing opened at 2.5. He's still sitting at 3 at some books out there. Like, I would bet this at 3 all day long. I mean, it's a clean injury report basically on the Cincinnati side of things, and just already a mash unit on the Ravens side of things. Like, I don't know where you look at this and think, oh, Joe Burrow is all of a sudden terrible, and so he's not going to be able to take advantage of a secondary that doesn't have Marlon Humphrey out there, and these pass rushers for them are not going to be taking advantage of an offensive line that's missing the center and tackle and all that. Like, it's just, it's crazy to me. So that one was the biggest overreaction. Favorite bet by far for me.
Wow, by far.
Yeah.
Interesting. What was number two, real quick?
Number two, probably the Falcons at a plus number, right? I mean, it's now switched where the Falcons are favored in this thing, but that only happened a day ago, right? And like, this Packers injury for the same deal, right? Packers are going to be running out, who knows who, back Bakhtiari, DNP, Aaron Jones, DNP, Christian Watson, DNP, Elgin Jenkins limited, Quay Walker limited, Rashawn Gary limited. Like, it's a whole bunch of dudes on this team that are serious contributors, serious playmakers that are going to be, you know, either out or going to be severely limited as we head into this thing. And look at the Falcons. I mean, they're gonna make some adjustments. They only threw it 18 times in week one. You know, I think they'll make some adjustments here, and certainly
I can't get behind the Desmond Ridder thing, though. Boy,
I don't know if he's gonna have to do very much.
He might not have to.
Yeah,
can you imagine Falcons with a 2-0 after that last week? More from Matt Brown, more of his picks this week, his favorite teaser, what he'd play in Survivor. It's a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today for only $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada. Look at that. Bar Canada live at the D here at in downtown Las Vegas. By the way, I have a tennis play today. We easy peasy winner on Sophia Kennan as an underdog yesterday, +115 in San Diego.
Told you not to sweat it.
Today, going over 21.5 games in the Kennan-Emma Navarro match. Emma Navarro playing the best tennis of her career, beating Maria Sakkari last night, late night, in a third set breaker. I've got the Navarro-Kennan match to be a really good, good, hard-fought match tonight. I'm going over 21.5 games late night in San Diego. He is the Bear. You know him from back in the day during ESPN's College Game Day heyday. Now he has taken his trade over to Fox Sports, where he is the host of not one but two podcasts, the Bear Bets Pod, both in pro and college football, and of course a staple on their College Football Saturday broadcast. It's Chris Velika, everybody. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. I didn't stay up last night and watch that tennis, but
it's great.
San Diego is just a great place. Just great people out there, and just a place that I haven't been to in a while. But looking forward to you're kind of be conflicted today, aren't you? You got Sophia Kennan versus Danielle freaking Collins.
No.
A tough one for you.
No, Kennan's taking is playing Navarro. Collins is.
I'm sorry. I thought they were on the same side of the bracket.
Collins is taking on Krejcikova. Now there could be a conflict in the finals. That's for sure. Yeah,
I would think so.
Yeah.
I don't want to stir trouble up, but and maybe you can't go there. But why are you not doing your show from the Circus Studio? I'm sitting here. Hey, how many tunes? Let me clear my throat. Going on in the background, I'm like. They got a perfectly good studio at Circa, and like you're sitting at a bar with like music and slot machines going off in the background. Like, huh? I don't get it. Who did you offend in your previous life?
No comment. I don't know. I must have offended somebody.
It feels like you're getting sent to like the kiddies table or something. You're like serving out a punishment.
I am at the kids table. By the way, can I just thank you on a different note for reminding me that tonight is Rosh Hashanah, because you have prevented me from getting all kinds of static from my mom. So I will reminded me to call her today. So thank you very much. And to those to whom it applies, Happy New Year. How about that? Thank you, Chris Velika.
You're quite welcome. And I will say the only reason I knew that was because I'm on a nice big large group text chain with a bunch of Miami alums, and they were bringing it up about the game being last night and bringing up the holiday. So I figured once I heard about that, I'm like, let me wish my friend Gil a happy New Year.
Thank you. By the way, I'm laughing because Kelly, Mr. FSU over there, as soon as you said a bunch of Miami alums, he's like shaking. He said like, oh yeah, Miami, sure. That's got to be them. All right, let me just start where we brought this up with Bob, or he brought it up, and then I riffed on it. The Jay Norvell comment, again, you know, when I'm around adults, I take off my glasses and my hat. Like a real shot at Dion and maybe Dion's mother, quite frankly. This is just pure idiocy, isn't it? Like, I'm not overstating that.
Yeah, it is, because you're a team that doesn't need any additional motivation to score a point. Look, we saw against Nebraska last week them punch in one late. And where they would just basically could have run the clock out and taken any. This is a team that's out for respect and legitimacy, and people keep doubting them every week and giving them fuel to the fire to put up as many points on the board as they can. And now you've just kind of gone in there as like an unnoticed team off of an idle week and a week one blowout loss. And now you spice things up and you have them on full alert. Because the truth of the matter is, if this was a normal team, Colorado, like, this would be the ultimate, like, sandwich spot.
Sure.
You had the big upset win over TCU at the start. You had the win over Nebraska last week in your home opener. And you got Oregon next week. This would have been, like, the ultimate time to just kind of sneak in, ugly the game up. Maybe it's a 10-point game in the second half and it's kind of competitive. But now there's going to be no shot at that. I actually agree with Bob's play there on the over, because – I'm curious to see what the Colorado team total is, too, because I don't think they're going to score.
I'm so locked in. As again, I mentioned, I went to San Francisco on last Friday. I made sure my flight came back before kickoff of the Colorado game last week. Like, I'm scheduling flights around them, and it's the only team where I'm grabbing the opener, right? It was 2.5 against Nebraska. I was like, now that didn't end up being any better than what ended up being the spread. But I was like, grab the 2.5. Last week for this, I have Colorado minus 21 in this game. Next week, minus 14.5. I grab every one of them because I just think this is a chronic thing. You have no bet on the side. You're not touching it at the current line.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm staying away. But I will be curious to see, depending on the result this week, how that number moves, because your number of 14.5 will probably, if you grab the 14.5 against Oregon, I can only imagine that number is going to go down.
Yeah, I think so. All right, what do you love best this week?
not the best slate in the world in terms of games. You've got all you've got 15 of the 23 top 25 teams are facing either an FCS team or they're favored by 24 points or more. So it's not a lovely slate, but I found a couple of things that I do like. One of those big favorites who now is unranked is Texas A&M. And normally I would not want to be playing a team that went on the road and gave up close to 50 points coming home against a really bad UL Monroe team that scored 41 points, I think, this year. But I think if you watch that game last week, as I did, A&M was so sloppy defensively and special teams, allowed Miami a bunch of chunk plays. I think practice will probably have been wretched up a little bit this week, especially with a subpar team coming in. Normally, this would be like a Boo Bird type atmosphere, and fans wouldn't be enjoying it. But I think A&M in that SEC West still has some hope with LSU already having a loss, and Alabama having a loss, and now they have a loss non-conference as well. I think there's still an opportunity for them in the SEC West. So I think A&M is going to come out. And the shutout is very high on the bingo card for this week. I do like A&M laying the 36 against the old Warhawks there from Monroe.
Okay. A&M for Chris Felica on this. By the way, did the Texas-Alabama outcome surprise you last week? Were you shocked by that? Do you buy into what Nick Saban is saying, that no, this the future is now. This is still all about this season. Are you on board with that?
Yeah, I wasn't. Shocked, I guess, would not be. I was not shocked, but I should say this. The thing that shocked me was that I had to watch the game when I got home. Fortunately, I DVR'd it, but there was no fluke involved.
No.
The shock was that Texas was better.
Yes.
At quarterback, wide receiver, offensive line, front seven. The fact that Texas had the better team, and it was clear and obvious, and it wasn't like a go on the road fluke late field goal win turnover. The shock was that Texas was the better team, and they are. I never wanted to fully buy in on Texas until I saw it. But I think what we saw on Saturday night makes them definitely a national title contender now.
Wow, national title contender, go that far.
Yeah, you look at the Big 12. Who's going to compete with them in the Big 12? Oh, maybe that Red River game in a couple weeks is going to be fantastic. But look at the odds to win the title. I think they're now the co-third choice with Florida State at 10-1.
What besides A&M do you like?
I took Illinois plus 15 against Penn State. I mean, there isn't much to like about what we saw from Illinois in the first couple of games. They probably should have lost at home to Toledo. Never in the game in Lawrence. But there's just something weird about conference road games, whether it's Penn State this week, LSU this week, Tennessee this week, Florida State this week. You go on the road and you face an unranked team in a conference road game. Crazy things sometimes happen where you just kind of struggle because you've been playing a couple of non-Power 5 teams, Group of 5 teams, FCS teams, and now you're ratcheting up against a legitimate team. And it, Penn State, I mean, Aller's a great quarterback, but again, it's still your conference road game. Illinois still has some parts on defense to play with. And I would think after the way they looked last week, Bielma and that staff will have them ready to play. It's interesting, too, because, again, the players have changed, but the coaching staff is still there. You go back the last few years in Penn State's first road game of the year. Last year, they needed that comeback at Purdue where Brohm really helped them with the poor clock management. 2 years ago, I think they won 16-10 at a Wisconsin team that kind of wasn't like a typical Wisconsin team. I think they had a non-offensive touchdown in the game. That game was their only touchdown as well. And then the COVID year, they lost at Indiana. So the first road game of the year is not treating Penn State well. That's not to say that's the reason why I like Illinois here, but I do think the Illini get north of two touchdowns. Is the way to go.
All right, Chris Felica of the Bear, again, the Bear Bets podcast, both college and pro version. College out on Thursdays, pro out on Fridays. Our own Will Hill, part of that as well. And Big Noon Kickoff in Boulder, in Boulder, Colorado, where everybody is for the Colorado State game. Enjoy, Chris. Always appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Yeah, two more quick ones before I go. Ohio getting 3 against Iowa State, and North Texas getting 5 against Louisiana Tech.
Bang. 2 bonus plays from
there. You go.
Thank you, sir. Coming back with Jason Weingarten, Under a Cloud of Smoke, next on Baseball.